gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Tina Fey, Justin Dunn, and Alex Zelba.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man. There's that Booth Man.
And Pete, for those of you who are auditorially listening to the show rather than visually listening to the show, I guess. Pete forgot to put on his Punisher slippers right before the show, so he was rushing to do it and did it just on time. It was really impressive.
Yeah, we really had to slow down the whole pace of the show for these slippers.
Wow, yeah, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, now this is, speaking of awesome, this is the first time we've been together in a couple of weeks.
We really missed each other, I think.
Yeah, now, you hosted the show solo once.
Correct.
And then last week it was the two of you.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So we've been building up to this.
So I guess the real question is, where the fuck have you been, Alex?
Hey, well, how was San Diego?
It was great. It was really fun.
Did you go there for the con or just one of the other weekends?
I hit up the zoo for a solid week.
Yeah.
I was interviewing animals. I was like, what are you guys wearing? What are you dressed as?
What can you tease
Talk about
us?
Your project.
Do you have any, can you tease any big animal
yeah,
news?
Come on. Give me some spoilers.
Like, what's going on with the tigers?
What was your favorite con moment?
My favorite con moment, I actually want to get to later in the show. Because
good.
Yeah, so that's a little teaser for you guys.
Pete, what was your favorite North Carolina moment?
Just how nice people are in North Carolina.
And regular people are very nice.
Yeah. And Justin, what about you? What was your favorite being here on stage moment?
Just really holding down the fort, being like a real good man and staying at home and doing the right business, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like the Jimmy Stewart of the three of us.
I gotta be honest. I've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It seems like you've really grown up.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yes.
I lassoed the moon while you guys were gone.
Wow, I don't know what that means.
It's
but
a
I
reference
do know...
to It's a Wonderful Life, which is what I'm talking about.
What is that, like a comic book or what is it?
Wow, geez, you've gone too far.
Yeah. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He is returning once again to talk about some awesome stuff. Comedian Scott Ecker!
Yeah, Scott, welcome to the show, sir. Welcome, welcome.
Scott!
Scott! Two beers in his hands, Ecker.
Scott,
two beers.
Welcome.
As soon as I walked on my two beers, Alex grabbed his iPad, terrified that I was going to spill beer on them.
Yeah, that's right.
I was actually scared you were going to steal it.
He's
I don't
a
know
real
where you
tech
go.
Head.
To be perfectly honest, I don't know where you would have run to that I wouldn't have been able to catch you. But
I was scared. Well, I am taller, so
you
for
are.
All of you
he could just hold it above your head.
Longer.
He could hold it above your head, and you would jump.
Well, his
like
legs
a baby.
Are longer, so he can run faster.
Is everyone noticing that Pete is putting on his formal wear?
Yeah.
Realize
what Pete was happening.
Clearly was not ready for the show and has forgotten.
Not ready because Zelbin rushed it.
If you are listening to the show at home, the rest of us dressed for the show.
Yep.
Both Justin and I are wearing tuxes right now,
as usual.
Alex, we're being streamed. I don't know if you remember.
Nobody's watching.
Yeah, but no, that has a tux filter on it.
So, Scott, I hear that you have a very popular Tumblr.
Yes. On the other occasions I've come here, I haven't had anything to announce.
A lot of real Tumblr applause there.
I have something to announce, and that is that I am the king of Tumblr now.
Oh,
wow, congratulations. Who bought Tumblr? Yahoo? Is that...
Yes,
are
Yahoo
because you're
Tumblr.
Scott Yahoo Eckert, right?
ScottYahooEckert@gmail.com.
Okay. If you're the king of Tumblr, are you afraid of Red GIF side?
Wow. Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Wow. That was a reach by any man's standards.
Right. Well, maybe Alex Zelbin is the king of Tumblr based on that pun alone.
No,
he's the king
of the Catskills in 1932.
Yeah.
Because they were big into animated GIFs back in the Catskills.
I mean, I checked out this Tumblr.
Yeah. No,
please.
But let's get to me, guys.
Yeah,
enough
I think
bits.
So.
A week ago, I started a parody Tumblr, and I have 8,000 followers.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, so this shit's going viral. By the time you guys hear this, I will probably be up to 9,000 followers.
Wow,
yeah.
So what is this
What's
Tumblr
the deal?
That is so popular
so
on
the,
Tumblr?
I Googled it because I didn't want to give
you Googled
the Tumblr
yourself.
Address on this podcast. Moments ago, I Googled it, and the number one hit is from some website I've never seen that said, The Greatest Tumblr. And then it's
really?
The name of my Tumblr. My Tumblr is called Literal Listicles.
Okay.
So you guys know what a listicle is?
Yeah, like a top 10 list.
Yeah, it's basically like 8 reasons that Wolverine is the best, or like 4
right.
signs you grew up in Kennebunkport or whatever.
Great.
And mine is just literal versions of that. So the one that really put me on the Tumblr map
sure.
okay. is a listicle that is seven signs you're not a great driver, and then it's just pictures of big road signs that say you're going the wrong way. That's all that it is, guys. Nice. That's what it takes to be the king of Tumblr.
You've really cracked it.
I did. So, I cracked it.
I mean, that's awesome, and it sounds really funny. But
it sounds like you're mocking it, Alex.
No, but here's what... does it also feel like, oh, my God, what have I been doing my entire career, that this is all I had to do?
Yes. It absolutely feels that way. When you post something that is eight signs, you're turning 30, and then they're just pictures of, like, banners that say, happy 30th birthday, and that gets, like, 10,000 more views than anything you've ever done up to then... it is a humbling experience.
That is heartbreaking in a way.
It is.
And, I mean, the success is obviously exciting, but to me, like, oh, I was trying way too hard for so long.
Exactly.
I should have really coasted on this.
But also, your use of the word success, it's like, oh, that the success that you're enjoying, it's like, is this success? And most of me is like, yes, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
When I wake up and I see those like subscribers climbing and those reblogs, boy... It makes me feel good.
Yeah, that's a real book deal.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Sorry, that's a big-time agent.
From an actual editor who works at a book publishing company. So you probably shouldn't promise things like that if you're not going to deliver.
Like an Urban Outfitters.
Well, it's not a legally binding thing when someone just shouts book deal. It's not like he has a book deal now.
You've clearly never been to the
orgasm.
ABA. I believe that one did work.
Alex's tuxedo needs to go to the cleaners now.
Well, that's great. So what is the address of the Tumblr?
I would suggest you Google literal listicles so that you can see this thing. But it's literallisticles.tumblr.com.
I have a feeling it's going to come to me, given it's the way it's just spreading throughout the internet, almost virally.
Yeah.
I think it'll just come to us when it's time.
Right. I'd also say you made a huge mistake coming on Comic Book Club and talking about this, because now we're going to tag this literal listicles.
Yep.
We're going to be the number one hit for that on the internet, and you're going down.
I feel like, fuck, it's a little fucked. I have a Tumblr blog called Literal Testicles that I thought was doing well, but you're literal. Killing it.
Yeah, that Tumblr is like the Amelia Bedelia of testicles.
Wow.
I've seen that Tumblr, though, and the odd thing is that there are hundreds of photos of testicles, but like all of the testicles look like the same one.
It's the same testicles, yeah. They're literally my testicles.
Oh, they're yours? Oh, okay.
I mean, those are the ones I have access to.
You should go see a doctor.
You think? You've been noticing a change?
Yeah,
well,
I take the
photos in a lot of different lighting. Okay, so some of it looks a little weird.
Yeah, you gotta find more access, I think.
What do you mean?
Just more testicles.
More testicles?
Yeah.
I only have three.
All right, guys, we're gonna move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're gonna talk about some comic books we like this week and go to bat for them. First one we're going to talk about from our good friend Pete LePage, /Army of Darkness #1, or should I say Army of Darkness /1, because that's the actual order of the title. Pete, what'd you like about this book?
Well, this was a long time coming. We had the Hack/ finale, and this picks up right after that.
Yeah.
So people were big Hack/ fans. I'm not pointing any fingers or anything.
You're
but
pointing one finger.
Yeah, so
I'm a huge
fan. At home,
so
pointing a finger.
I wanted this in the last issue where Cassie kind of reflects and says...
Can I take a quick step back?
Sure.
For those of you who never read Hack/, Hack/ is about last girl surviving in a slasher movie. She decides to go kill slashers.
Right.
She's a serial killer.
There you go. Army of Darkness, of course. Ash J. Williams, guy who fights deadites.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things.
Yeah.
And this is a team-up of them, but it starts with Cassie being sad because she misses Vlad, which is nice.
Is her partner who died in the last issue of
Hack/. Yeah, very sad.
She missed Vlad. She is sad.
Wow, nice job. You should start a poetry Tumblr.
I think sadness is not the overriding emotion that I felt when I was reading this issue.
There's very little sadness.
It starts there. And then moves on. And then it has a nice Tango and Cash team up.
I don't know if that's an apt comparison.
Well,
Turner and Hooch.
No, because when they first meet,
off of the dog, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how familiar you are with Tango and Cash. When they first meet, they do the old gun trick, just like in the movie Tango and Cash.
Oh, or literally any comic book team up ever.
Nope, that's not true.
When was the last time you saw Tango and Cash? When was the last time anyone saw Tango and Cash?
2 days ago.
Time. You know, actually, nobody has ever seen Tango and Cash.
Yeah, that sounds like a fake
I've seen
movie.
It a lot of times.
So, Scott, what do you think
Foo
about
Bar,
this
big time.
Well, I liked that there were lots of... there's lots of TNA in this, and I thought that it was funny. Spoiler alert, the demon woman, whatever, that they're killing... Her head gets blown off, and then the severed head seems to attack Cassie's nether regions. And right when it seems like that's going to be horrible in lots of ways, Ash blows it up with a shotgun. So yeah. It's like that kind of book.
And yeah.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ultra violent. It's fine. Yeah.
And funny.
Crazy. And sexual is what
I'm
saying.
And just edging toward violent sexuality. Yeah.
So
that's what
would
anyone
you say
would want in a comic.
Comic Book Club likes violent sexuality?
Yeah, would you say Comic Book Club has, like, a problem? Has, like, a real problem?
I'm not saying Comic Book Club has that problem.
You're saying Peter Page does that.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I'm just saying that this we enjoy that about this comic. So if that's a problem, then fuck you.
Right, oh, interesting
but
wording.
Pete, you would say, as a fan of Hackslash, you're happy with how it followed up on that book?
Hugely happy.
All right.
I just didn't like all the finger nibbling in this. That was very unsettling for me.
Some people have a problem eating their hands.
That's not some people is an exaggeration of that.
Right.
You don't think
you've never seen people who bite their nails?
Who bite their fingertips off? Is that like a Tango and Cash?
You changed it. I said bite your nails.
That's Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch. That's what I'm thinking of.
Turner bites off Hooch's fingers.
Yeah. Hooch is a
dog.
Dogs
have fingers, right?
And that dog did. Oh. That was an unsettling film.
Tom Hanks. I'm now seeing that, and I'm unsettled.
I did watch Forrest Gump today for the many...
Did it make you cry?
It did at one point. And I will say, I find that movie pretty dumb.
Were you getting prepped for the quiz of the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to lose that shit ever again.
I have an irresistible crying reflex to that movie. And when I was in college, I was running the tap room at basically my frat house, and it was like 2 a.m, and there were only drunk lacrosse players like playing beer pong.
The best kind of drunk people.
It was terrible. But Turner and Hooch, Forrest Gump was on the TV, and I was just manning the bar alone, and every 10 minutes they would come and get more pitchers of beer, and I just kept crying. And every time
they were like, let's
back,
get that.
And Jenny died, and my face was just
what?
In tears.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Well, you just watched it.
I didn't watch the end. I only watched it up to Vietnam stuff.
Jenny died.
Oh, man.
Of AIDS.
Well.
It's kind of like
I don't remember the autopsy scene in the movie.
Yep, it's AIDS, said Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Oh, he becomes a doctor.
Right.
And there's been a lot of, before we move on, there's been a lot of controversy on whether, amongst this group of people that I hang out with, amongst whether or not the kid is Forrest's son or just some random guy's son.
That she, like, pawned off on him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's Forrest's kid.
Jenny was a dick.
She wasn't very nice.
Yeah. None You're of the saying that she lied to him, that she had sex with somebody else, and then told Forrest
that's
that was her son?
That's what other people have said, because they only had sex once.
That's bullshit.
You have to have sex at least 5 times to have a baby. I can confirm that, right, Scott?
Yeah, just check the stats on teenage pregnancy.
Yeah, you got to build it up.
Yeah, build it up.
Build
it up. Well, you have notably weak sperm, right?
Yep.
And
guys,
we know that Justin
we've been talking about
his testicles. His testicles.
We've been talking a lot about Turner and Hooch, Tango and Cash, successful partnerships like that. Let's turn to your pick, Batman Superman, number 2.
Yeah, nice.
From DC Comics. So, Justin, what'd you think about this book?
I like this book a lot. This was my pick, as we just announced. Batman and Superman, this book, I feel like, of all the books in the DC's doing now, feels very fresh. J. Leon art, it's just great. It feels, taking these characters that are in so many books and have been around forever, and it's really surprising, and you're right in the middle of the story, and we don't know why things are happening. We just know that they're happening, and it's done well. I don't feel frustrated by that.
Yeah, so this is giving us the first meeting of a young Batman and a young Superman. End of last issue, something weird happened where Superman ended up in a different place, or young Superman ended up in a different place. This issue, we find something's going on. Maybe they're jumping through time. Maybe they're jumping through dimensions. Yeah. Somebody is screwing with them.
Yeah, some sort of trickster.
Yeah, some sort of trickster. It's a good mystery.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I like the best about this. I think Greg Pak, writing this book, has put together a mystery that gives us enough clues that I think I can follow it. And then it keeps pulling the rug out from under me. And I think we are going to be getting answers soon. But it's cool. I'm definitely along for the ride.
Yeah,
Scott,
I definitely,
what do you think about it?
I definitely agree. I think the writing is phenomenal in this. This is the first issue that I've
I enjoyed this issue a lot more. Okay. Yeah, lot more than the first issue. The art is tough for me just because I love this guy's art, but having it on such a mainstream superhero comic is a little jarring. A little tough to get behind. But
I think it works for this story, though.
Sure, if you would have let me finish. Yeah. What I was getting at is
when they change over his opinion.
When you were talking about going to possible futures or different worlds, that's when this kind of artwork works well. And I feel like in this issue, it kind of makes sense and all comes together.
Who's an artist you would rather see on this book?
I don't know. I just feel like...
Whoever does Dilbert.
Oh, man, that guy is mainstream.
That was the most random thing you could have said.
Dilbert Superman would be great.
What's his first name? Adams? Isn't it something Adams?
Neil Adams.
Scott Adams. Yeah.
Scott Adams. Dilbert. Really? Well, yeah, Scott Stapp, great artist also.
I like this issue. I thought it was a good issue. I'm enjoying it more.
Cool. All right, we'll move on with my pick, Young Avengers number 8 from Marvel Comics.
Oh, talk about hopping dimensions, Alex.
Oh, I missed that. Thank you, Justin. I missed that segue.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm not. You know, I hosted this show.
You're a little rusty.
This show twice.
You're a little rusty.
I know what a segue is.
Really sorry about that, you guys. This book is great. I started out being a little iffy on it. I feel like it was a little rough in the first couple of issues, but this has built and built and built to become pretty much at the top of my stack, I think, every month. So we have the Young Avengers. They're on the run because this interdimensional parasite, I guess you would call it, who wants to destroy their entire dimension, whenever they are near, this creature called Mother has the power to destroy dimensions. So they've had to run away.
Yeah.
Now, they've gone so far away that they've ended up in other dimensions and other realities of the Marvel Universe. We get to see them hopping through. We get to see them finally actually bonding as a team, which I thought was really cool. And one of the things that's so wonderful about this book, beyond Kieran Gillen's writing, is Jamie McKelvey's art, which always comes up with new and exciting and interesting ways of laying out the panels that don't just play with the panel structure for the sake of playing with the panel structure, but actually truly emphasize and work with the story.
Yeah.
So we get things like Miss America Chavez can bring them through dimensions. She stamps on the ground and creates a star portal that breaks.
Talk about star. I love the stars as another segue. The stars of the book. the character choices in here are great, and we're seeing them really interact in these. You can do a segue by interrupting someone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the best time to do one, right?
Yeah, speaking of interrupting something,
keyword that you were waiting to hear.
Keyword. Now, when you talk keyword, I think Avengers is the keyword here.
The
Young Avengers. I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not easy. Talk about easy. Can you segue yourself? I'm too powerful.
Segways. Speaking of segues.
I like this. I want to hear what Pete has to say. I haven't been following it. The only thing that sort of threw me, and maybe it's because of the sort of dimension hopping, but Kate Bishop is so strongly in my mind in the Hawkeye sort of vein.
Yep.
And to see her doing more traditionally superhero stuff, it doesn't seem wrong necessarily, but like on the cover, for instance, there are 10 of her and she's like a cyborg and looks crazy. It's like, what? I want her to just be like upset about the dog.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really match up, but I actually think that's one of the good things about Marvel right now is I feel like they're not getting...
Continuity doesn't matter.
Well, almost. I think it doesn't... You know, they make efforts towards it, but they more make efforts towards making sure the book works and each of the individual stories work versus DC is so tied into continuity, making sure everything works together, that ultimately nothing really works across the board because it all doesn't really make a lot of sense.
That's actually... And I still want to hear what Pete has to say, but I didn't get to talk about Batman Superman. That's my only knock on Batman Superman. It's like, oh, it just seems like they're bending over backwards to fit into this new 52 continuity. And it's like, I don't
disagree with that. I think that's one that jumps outside of it and I feel like it stands on its own.
Well, I stand corrected.
Oh, wow. Well, don't back down
quite
so quickly.
You're entitled to your opinion. Don't let me, because of the younger versions?
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, anytime I see Superman in jeans and fucking boots, I'm like, why are we trying so hard to make this work? And it's happened in 0 Year, too, right? I mean, not necessarily the boots, but...
Whenever I see him in those jeans and boots, I'm like, finish up your gardening and get back to fighting crime, Superman. Because he doesn't. It looks ridiculous.
What?
Huh?
I don't know. I
That's
like
what you wear on the farm to do your gardening is
yeah,
jeans.
Boots and jeans.
Right.
Because you don't want to get your caught up on the brambles.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's why you wear the jeans.
So
and
anyway,
if you tuck your jeans in your boots, and mosquitoes don't bite your ankles.
Do you think he has to check for ticks? Like,
I mean, I would. Yeah. It's a good precaution.
It's a good precaution.
You catch lion. It's just, bad tick here.
Do you think they had ticks on Krypton? Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to set a good example, it makes sense.
Well, yeah.
That
yeah.
he strips down,
right.
checks himself for ticks.
Well, I think Batman and Superman check each other in this book. That's why it's a team up.
Yeah, there's 10 pages of them checking each other for ticks. Yeah.
Talk about tick. Pete's ticked off. He hasn't been able to talk yet.
Yay.
So.
Oh. Hey, nice. So Young Avengers for me.
Oh, we're out of time.
It doesn't start well with the old journal entry. You don't need that. Just get into the story here.
Oh, you hate journaling.
I just, you know, don't give me the diary starting. You know, I don't need
That's
to know
a recap
that, like,
page. It's a
I don't
dress,
need
it's a
to know that
weekend.
You're a superhero and doing a journal. Just start fucking talking.
Pete, you should journal more. It would be great for you to get your thoughts out in a way where it's not.
So I could really see how crazy check. I am. Just like
you
write
think
it down.
Any comic with a journal is shitty.
No, and I know what you're going. I know what you're
like,
doing.
Like
there. Yeah.
Punisher
no,
war journal.
He doesn't like
no.
war journals are fine.
Yeah, yeah war
it's just
journals.
Dream journals.
War journals are necessary. Right. All right,
are necessary.
This, well, you know, she talks about.
Have you heard? It was announced in San Diego. Punisher's war diary, which is going to be a little sweeter. It's going to be a little more on
nope,
his feelings.
That did not
you're
going
to have a key to open
it's
it.
Actually,
up.
It's the same thing, but he puts hearts over all of the eyes.
Yeah,
right.
I killed with a heart over the.
Anyways, so then she
actually,
talks about.
I want to ask, honestly, if Punisher, same logo, but there's a heart over the eye. Do you still read the book?
Nope.
Really?
Wow.
Because Punisher wouldn't put a heart over his eye.
You know what?
Sure, but I'm sure he's not.
If it was a skull, I would read it.
I got to say, the skull on your slipper looks a lot like a white heart.
What if it was
Screw
a heart
you.
That was like exploding, like a bullet was going into
oh,
an end and it was
nice.
Exploding
yeah,
at
that
the same time.
Yeah, that would be
time.
Cool.
Yeah,
that'd
but it's
awesome.
Actually exploding into a kiss is what you didn't know.
Yeah.
Not good.
Ooh, complicated.
So anyways, then she starts talking about her birthday. That never really follows through. We don't get to see a fun birthday scene at the end. I thought this issue was a little... it was just a little like jumping around. Hey, Korean barbecue timeout, jumping around.
Well, there
people,
are... They,
two people making
Hoffa.
Out at the end, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you like the end?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was well earned, and
there is no rhyme or reason to you.
And I thought it was really well written and beautifully done.
you just hate the journaling aspect.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was kind of all over the place to get to this one part.
You're right. Chekhov's rule is if they promise a birthday in the first act, they have to pay it off. For
exactly.
The party.
Give me that birthday.
Give me that birthday.
Yeah. Give me
Pete.
That birthday.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. But in the next issue, if
Chekhov,
it happens,
give me
then,
that birthday.
Yeah.
Then I'll stand corrected.
Kieran Gillen, give me that birthday.
Yeah. Kieran, if you're listening, give us that birthday. And that's it for the stats.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Bootman.
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 Boot. Jeans and Bootman.
Jeans and
Booten.
Booten jeans.
Booten's the place.
Booten jeans and...
All right, that's enough.
That's a German town I went on vacation recently.
Who cares?
Good point.
If Hugh Jackman had not been cast as Wolverine, what comic book character would he have been perfect for?
A taller.
We can't. Pete's going to complain later in another segment of the show about his dumb shit.
It was
reasons.
An audience question. Respect it, asshole.
Okay, please. What was it again?
It was, who should Hugh Jackman play?
If he wasn't Wolverine.
If he wasn't Wolverine.
He could be Cyclops.
No.
He could be a good Cyclops. Fuck you. Why couldn't he be?
Because he's, like, big and he's, like, sort of
Cyclops
burly.
Is a big guy.
No, he's not.
He's slim.
He's called Slim.
His nickname is Slim.
Oh, so his height would bother you if he played Cyclops, is what you're saying.
No, his width.
Oh, it would be a factor? Is that what you're saying?
Stop nodding your head so much. You're shaking like a leaf.
Jean Grey.
Yeah.
That is an excellent question.
Puck? I think you should play a shorter character, Puck.
You're an asshole.
He'd be a great Puck.
What about Punisher?
He'd be a great Punisher.
He would be a great Punisher. Yeah. Although, I mean, despite the fact that he likes to sing and dance, like, he would be a great... I don't know. He has the rawness with guns. What do you think, Pete? With guns? Hugh Jackman with guns?
Pete's heart belongs to Thomas Jane.
Yeah, Thomas Jane is my Punisher, but I think that he could be an all right. I don't, you know, he could
that's
be
what
an
it
all
says
right
on
Punisher.
Your journal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thomas Jane is my Punisher.
Thomas Jane is my Punisher. Tear stains, tear stains.
So it would never
but
happen.
But it would be all right. I wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me if he was a Punisher. I don't think.
What if he were playing the Man of Steel in the Man of Steel instead of Henry Cavill?
Ooh.
What?
Because
I would buy the like crazy choice at the end if it were Hugh Jackman. I feel like he'd be more
Jackman
legitimately tortured.
I would have bought that whole movie if it was Wolverine instead of Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have bought
Yeah, that would make sense. He killed him at the end.
I would have
yeah.
bought a movie if it was called The Wolverine.
We'll talk about
Except
that.
Except for the all the flying and alien shit.
Yeah. You could throw him anywhere. He was in Japan in this movie.
He was.
I think, yeah, maybe like. And like an older Superman, like talk about, I'm thinking Batman Superman. If he was like the slightly older version of Superman, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Anything but Wolverine.
Well, no,
you
know,
it's
no one
a little
likes
tough
him.
Because he's perfect as Wolverine.
He is
yeah,
not
exactly.
He's perfect as Wolverine.
Well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree and never talk about it again, except for in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
So can I mention the thing that I was teasing earlier? I actually met Hugh Jackman in San Diego.
Oh! How tall was he?
What did you say to him?
First of all, I was like, listen, sir, you are too tall for my friend Pete.
Yeah. I hope you
no,
said
no.
that.
No, he was coming by the MTV studio to interview. He had some time to kill, so he sat down in the production office with, and I thought this was the most adorable thing ever, his own Tupperware of fish and asparagus that
wow.
he had made. And so he sat down, and he was eating his lunch. And everybody was kind of standing there silently, not sure what to say.
Just watching him? They were just, like, circled just around him, eating his own Tupperware. Yeah.
Seriously,
like, you
we,
know,
were
I
doing,
might
we were doing
give
that
me,
thing
give
where
me a break.
We were trying not to look, but kind of look. And then our host, Steven, was very smart about it and just shouted out, okay, nobody look at Mr. Jackman. He wants to be private. Nobody look at him. And he started laughing, and then he started chatting with us. And he was a super nice guy.
Yeah, I think he's
incredibly
a nice guy.
Nice.
Nice
great
guy,
to chat
great
to you.
Actor.
Yeah, and super tall.
Yep.
There you go. But not a problem. That's it. That's
but
the whole
not
story.
A problem.
Yeah. So
super
this,
tall, but not bothering anybody.
He had a message for Pete. He was like, Pete, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Lay off.
Well, I just wish if you're going to make that choice, then when
to
you're
be
shoot-
tall?
No. When you're going to cast somebody who's taller than the person you're playing, make the choice to maybe try to shoot down so he doesn't seem so tall. So maybe when he goes to Japan, he's not towering over everybody.
Well,
that's
I mean,
racist.
Yeah, that's a little
bit. It's not
bit.
Racist. It's if a short person is Japan, he wouldn't be taller than everybody. He might be the same height. But the way they shot it looked like he was a giant
hey guys,
over there.
For the second Wolverine movie, he's going to be in Japan, so we need to make sure to get somebody real short.
They should have just dug a small hole underneath
aware.
His feet. He could have stood in that tiny hole.
Be aware.
Oh, yeah. What if everybody was strapping Apple boxes on their feet?
That would make sense.
Yeah,
that would make
yeah,
sense.
That
so
that
so
would
the
make.
Character that he would be best suited to play is Stilt Man, is what we're saying.
Well,
right?
Well, I mean, and let's be honest, everyone's favorite thing about Wolverine is his short height. Like, that's the thing that drives people nuts about
that's
Wolverine, is how tiny
power,
he is.
Right? That's his mutant power.
Oh, exactly.
Being
he's just
short.
Being, like, 5'6".
Hey, maybe if you're a short kid growing up and you see somebody kicking ass who's short, you
that's
relate to them.
That's what you identified with Wolverine?
His height.
He was kind of short.
Muggsy Bogues. Muggsy Bogues was my favorite player in the NBA.
That short guy is kicking ass. That's Wolverine. That's
why didn't you identify with Puck?
Yeah, what about Puck?
Puck I did identify with, and he's also one of my favorites.
Or any of the reasonably sized X-Men.
Reasonably
sized? I don't like reasonably sized. I like short.
Interesting. Very wow. interesting. A lot of all big right. revelations coming out of here. He's that's the best he is at his height, I believe, is his catchphrase.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
If you could erase one comic book movie from existence, which would you pick and why? Thank you.
Oh,
Man of Steel.
Really?
Yeah.
That really broke your heart.
It broke my heart. I wish I had never seen it. I mean, I'm glad I saw it so that I don't constantly think, oh, boy, I'd like to see that. That would be great. And then eventually have my heart crushed.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could erase that from existence, they could just make a new Superman movie. That would be awesome.
Interesting. Good
Pete,
answer.
What about you? All three of the Punisher movies?
Punisher, Dirty Laundry, the short that Thomas Jane
oh,
did.
Fuck you. That is one of my Punisher
By
movies.
The way, did you hear that those guys are making a Venom short?
Nice.
The guys awesome. Who make Punisher Dirty Laundry, they're making a Venom short with Ryan Kwanten from True Blood.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
Where's Thomas
I can't
Jane?
Wait for that.
Thomas Jane is
he's running sound
J.
on
Jonah
that.
Jameson. He's running sound. He's doing craft services.
He's a great show.
I would say maybe Spider-Man 3.
Really?
Why? Do you get more Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
Because he didn't like the singing.
Yeah, the singing and dancing part was ridiculous. And then that hairdo, I mean, that got real, real weird real fast.
I think X-Men 3. I thought that was really, really bad movie, and it ruined a lot of great potential X-Men storylines. It sort of blew up.
Or, as we'll talk about later, apparently not.
Yeah, right. But it, like, the whole Wolverine Jean Grey thing, the Phoenix, all that was just all screwed up all at once.
Yeah. I have a less good answer, but in a similar vein, I would eliminate the second Hulk movie, the Edward Norton Hulk movie, only because I feel like that's the reason they're not going ahead and greenlighting an actual now within Marvel Universe Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd like to see a Hulk movie in that universe.
Especially after Avengers, I want a Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Oh, nice.
And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Boothman.
All right, guys. Before we move on, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This section is sponsored by Tours for Fun, which is a superhero tour of New York City. You get to go around, see places from Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, not the Wolverine because that takes place in Japan, but pretty much every other superhero movie and site in New York. We're giving away tickets for two to go take that walking tour. Scott, what was your favorite question that got asked today?
My favorite question was the Hugh Jackman, who would he play if he didn't play Wolverine?
Nice.
All right, there you go. If you ask that question, come see us after the show. You're going to win a tour. Yay!
Yeah, you're going to win a tour for fun.
Tours for fun. Much better than Tours for Sadness, which
is what I run.
Yeah.
I run that tour.
Yeah, it's just he just sits in his apartment.
Yeah, it's
and people come and sit there with him.
You'd be surprised how many people sign up for it.
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, I hate my family. Take me on a sad tour.
Yep.
Cool.
great business plan.
Frozen peas and apple juice, and that's it. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is called Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Breaking a little bit.
I know. It was a little. Not hitting your high notes.
Yeah, your voice is ready.
Well, you didn't. I mean, you've been gone for a couple weeks, so you didn't warm up.
I went through reverse puberty.
Yeah.
Congrats.
The Week in Geek.
Comic-Con does that to people, though, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually really does. That is accurate.
Just
Week in Geek, we talk about geek culture topics. Let's kick it off with something we've already touched on a couple of times in the show. The Wolverine came out this weekend.
Yeah.
So this is.
Why don't we do a quick, like, one word sum up of what we would give it?
Yeah,
and then talk about it.
Scott, have you seen it, first of all?
I haven't seen it, but I have listened to so many spoiler podcasts that I am deeply interested in hearing what you guys have to say. Here's how I'm going to sum up. My prediction is first two thirds good, last third bad. That's what I feel like the consensus is going to be. Yeah.
All right, so let's first do the one word sum up.
Oh, just one word? Because I was going to say first two thirds bad, last third bad.
Okay. Well, so your word would be bad.
Yeah, bad.
Okay.
No, terrible.
Terrible. Wow. What's your word?
Good.
Good?
Yeah. All right.
These aren't very creative one-word sum ups. Bad and bad.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
Pizza's going to be okay.
Mine is pizza. Is that what you want? Something a little more creative?
No, I don't know. Ask Zalvin. He's the one who came up with the conceit.
No, he came up with the conceit.
Ennui, you said?
Yeah, sure.
Mine is butterfly.
Butterfly. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say.
Well, that's your favorite song.
Yeah.
My one word is didn't hate it.
Oh, come on. All right. You created this stupid game.
And then you made fun of our answers, and then you couldn't even come up with one.
Tall. Yeah, tall.
Too tall.
Okay. Forget the fact that Hugh Jackman was too tall,
right,
Pete. You're our number one Wolverine fan.
Sure.
I don't know if he is.
So there was a lot of, I definitely am, you motherfucker.
I don't think so.
What? You think you like Wolverine more than I do?
Definitely this movie. Definitely Hugh Jackman.
Also the comic book.
And also the comic books, for
but
sure.
But other than that, Pete's a bigger fan.
The Wolverine comic book?
Wait.
I do like that more than you.
Pete wins in memorabilia, right? We're fighting all about memorabilia, because that's...
I mean, he's not wearing any Wolverine memorabilia at all right now.
Yes, I am.
There's a shirt.
Wolverine t-shirt
that's not a
right
Wolverine
now.
T-shirt. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's got Wolverine on it. What would you call that?
Yeah, okay, sure. There's a lot of
Sure, there's Captain America, Spider-Man, and the Hulk on it, sure.
Uh-huh.
That's like not going to work. There's all different rights for all of those, so yeah. I don't think they could team up.
Anyway.
Yeah, it would be too complicated.
I think you have to take off your shirt.
Yeah. Please take your shirt off. Second
if
biggest...
you were a Wolverine fan, you'd take your shirt off.
Wow. Second biggest Wolverine fan on the panel. Go ahead.
All right. That didn't even make sense.
Fan on the
third.
Panel.
Yeah.
Third
so
interesting. Yeah.
I just felt like this movie was a good movie if you weren't really a huge Wolverine fan. Like, it was a good movie. But the fact that Wolverine was in it was a little weird. Like, there were times at the funeral, like, why is Wolverine here? He flew over, and then it was like, oh, I'm just kind of here. I might as well go to this funeral. That was a little weird.
Yeah. Okay, Pete, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
All right. A friend you haven't seen in years flies you out to go see them right before they're dying. And
yeah, but
like,
I'm sorry.
No. And then they die. You're like, you know what? I'm going to cut out before the funeral.
It would be weird if I went to the funeral.
Yeah,
I don't have the right shirt.
Yeah. He wasn't prepared for a funeral. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, first of all, friend is a big word. Saved the guy's life once. He tried to give him a sword, and he was like, I don't want it.
So then
he was like, all right, see ya. He never spent any time thinking about him since then.
Let's explain maybe the plot of the movie a little bit so people know the bare bones of what you're talking about. There's an opening a little scene in the movie where Wolverine's trapped. He's been in prison during World War II, and that's right before the bomb is dropped on Nagasaki.
Right.
He befriends a Japanese soldier. Flash forward to the present.
Befriends is kind of a strong word.
He saves his life. They do. Later, we learn that they were sort of friendly.
He lies on top of him for a while.
Well, but then they have a whole sword exchange.
Friendship, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
That's how we first became friends. I took a short nap on your back.
Right. We all lay on each other in a well.
Yeah.
Friends forever.
We should tell that. Explain that origin.
Yeah. We've been interviewed a bunch of times, and I've never brought that up.
We've never brought it up. I know. It's a lost origin. Huh. Lost secret origin. So it was later retconned. So then what happens is we see we're in the present, and Wolverine's living, and he's not very happy. He goes to Japan and gets involved in the whole Yoshida family and all their politics. Everyone hates everyone.
You didn't think it was like weird that he was like this third world wheel that didn't really belong there?
Everyone knew him there. He walked in, and everyone's like, oh, you're the guy. You're the mutant. You're the gay.
You're the Wolverine.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Everyone was mumbling about
it. It was weird.
He was the biggest celebrity there.
All right.
That didn't bother
me. He was physically large.
He was very,
he was very tall.
He towered over them all.
Exactly.
All right. Please
That's
continue.
That's why they could all see him.
I thought this was so much better than the first Wolverine movie.
Sure, I would agree with that
statement.
X-Men
3. The plot made sense for the most part. The action sequences were pretty good. I mean, for the most part.
And the one thing I will give you, the action sequence on the
train was awesome.
Loved it.
That was awesome.
And the fight with the ninjas in the town,
was cool.
I thought was pretty good. Pulled some stuff directly from Frank Miller, which I liked a lot.
Yeah, a lot of Frank Miller stuff.
Can I give you my two biggest problems with
the movie? Well, first he's recapping the movie.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I don't want
to
spoil it right now.
He's up to the point with the giant robot.
There's a giant robot later.
And then he fights a giant robot.
Wolverine doesn't have his healing factor for a large portion of this movie. The sort of theme is Wolverine wants to die. This guy that he saved his life, he was dying and wanted to live, and it's about like living forever and what we place our value
in.
And
also Viper is there, and maybe she's a snake mutant.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. My two biggest problems with the movie, one, I felt like, aside from that one homage to Frank Miller and that ninja fight, the movie looked like nothing. Like, there was nothing going on. And it makes me so frustrated and angry that superhero movies, for the most part, don't look like anything. I think that's one of the things that makes the Nolan Batman movies stand out, is they have a look and they have a feel to them.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And everything else is just flat. And if you're going to send Wolverine to Japan, it is aggravating to me to not make it look anything like the culture.
I feel like so many, especially the X-Men movies, as a matter of fact, are shot like they're police procedurals on TV, where it's just like, yep, get through the plot point, get like sort of medium shots on everybody, and then move on. There's no like visual choices.
Absolutely. There was,
and I think that's true. That's
there was criticism. A fight that Wolverine has, I'm completely forgetting, Shinjin, I think, is that Mariko's father?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fight with Shinjin. There's rice paper in the background and some light going on. It reminded me vaguely of the fight in Skyfall, if you guys have seen it, where Bond is fighting this assassin, and these lights keep flashing, but they're silhouetted the entire time, and it's this gorgeous, awesome fight scene. And this was like a very pale second to that. It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
The other thing that drove me nuts about it is, for the most part with that movie, I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
It was so boring.
Yeah.
There were really long stretches, and I felt like Pete while I was watching this, where I was like, stop talking and kill some bitches,
yes!
You asshole.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That drove me insane. I honestly almost fell asleep halfway through the movie. Because he was just talking and talking and talking and being sad and talking.
Oh, my God, this is amazing.
That's
drove
why
me
I
nuts.
Love this podcast. Because every other podcast, they were like, man, the first two-thirds, there was a lot of story and character development.
Oh, my
and
God.
And you guys, it seems like the consensus is, fuck that.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're going to send him to Japan and not
just
have
just make
a
the
fight
fights
ninjas?
Look cooler.
Yes. The plot was stupid and made no sense.
But at least, as opposed to so many other movies in the X-Men family and beyond other superhero movies, like, nothing makes sense. And in this, at least, there was a gesture toward the characters deciding things and things happening.
This is a personal preference, but I will take stupid over boring anytime. And
well,
that's
pretty
me,
steep.
Wolverine Origins, I enjoyed that more because I was like, come on, this is stupid. But at least I was engaged
See,
in how
I
stupid it was.
I hate liking stupid, because if you like stupid, then you get
like
more
it,
stupid.
But I'm saying this was worse because I was disengaged for large chunks of the movie.
See, the stuff where Wolverine and Mariko were having their relationship.
And what a romance for the ages.
Well, it was there were some nice things that happened there, I thought.
Yeah, that thing where she's like, listen, you don't really know how to fight the samurai or the ninjas or anything like that. Let's go to my dojo where you'll recuperate. And then she never taught him to fight.
Yeah,
or anything
I know.
Like that
was,
what the fuck was that about?
Like, they fell in love instead.
No, no. But the thing was like
chop
Wolverine,
some trees for me, Wolverine.
In Wolverine's story, when he goes to Japan, he learns how to fight. Instead of just like a wild animal, he learns a little bit of the way of the samurai. And I kept wanting that to happen, and it never happened.
He never learned anything.
Nothing.
Instead, he learned how to fight robots and for them to suck his bone marrow out with
their
hammers.
With those really
he
weird
did. That
drills.
Was it was strange.
And stupid. Then you're going to throw him over with your claws? Like, get the claws before you throw somebody over the
he
edge.
He did learn.
Get your
what
claws
about, okay,
back.
Here's another thing that drove me totally nuts. So first scene in the movie, not exactly straight out, but pretty much taken from the Wolverine arc by Chris Claremont and Frank Miller.
Right.
Wolverine fights this bear, has to kill this bear that's been driven crazy. Turns out he tracks down
the bear thing was pretty awesome.
The bear thing was pretty awesome, and I like that whole scene.
Right.
It turns out that a hunter has shot the bear with a poison arrow, which has driven the bear insane.
Right. And then the bear,
which is a cool moment, right? Yeah. And he blames the hunter. He's like, if you hadn't shot him with the poison arrow, bear wouldn't have gone crazy and killed all these people.
Right.
Later on in the movie, Wolverine gets shot very specifically with a poison arrow, and what does he do? Falls asleep.
Yeah.
He falls asleep. He doesn't go crazy, doesn't go berserk, which beyond being very short, number one characteristic, berserk I would put it
yeah,
close
yeah,
to.
Yeah, berserk or barrage, where's that?
I have
Joe
a feeling, because I thought that as well. I have a feeling they cut that fight, because those ninjas were begging to be murdered.
I know. And it said it was just like,
you had all those ninjas, and he's just going to fall down and
I have a feeling they had to cut that. Yeah. I have a feeling they cut that fight, because clearly that's what they were doing. Because even the poison didn't come back as a meaty.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Okay. And
they dipped it in poison and made a huge thing about it.
It's stepped back at every possible point. Yukio, who is now a mutant and has the power to predict people's deaths, which I thought was totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Worked really well. She has this vision of Wolverine in a puddle of blood, blood all around him, holding his own heart.
His own heart, right.
Really cool. Very soon after that, we get to a thing where Wolverine realizes there's something around his heart.
He's
going to have to take out his own heart to stop this thing that's holding back its healing factor.
So Wolverine fights a bear and takes out his own heart. I hear all the complaints. This movie sounds fucking
hold on,
that's what I'm saying. These guys are being a little
nitpicky. Here's the thing about the taking out the heart. I love that as a metaphor because also Jean Grey all over the movie, which is crazy.
Yeah,
this
crazy.
Is a straight up sequel to X-Men 3,
right.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
But so, okay, he has to pull out his own heart to cure himself, to get back to be himself. Great idea. But instead, we see him, like, rooting around in his chest, and he just pulls a bug out.
Right.
At some point, they had to be like, we can't have him holding his own heart. And that's a huge bummer.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to see Wolverine holding his own beating heart in his hand, blood all over
and
the place?
And somehow fixing it.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a reach as far as fixing.
And then also there was the... for me, like, the trailers made Mariko, the red-headed girl, look like really not enjoyable. But in the movie, she actually was, which I was like, oh, okay, great. But it was just such an underused, like, and then it was like, hey, my car is dirty. I was like, why are we wasting time talking about rental cars?
What do you have going on? They needed to rush out. What do you?
Last big problem that I had. Wolverine calls people bitches a lot, which I actually had a.
He
huge,
does swear a lot. He's swearing in weird ways.
A bitch in particular, I have a big problem with because Wolverine. Okay, number one, tall. Number two, berserk. Number three, Bob. He's pretty respectful of women. He's actually one of the most respectful of women characters in comics.
Uh-huh.
And for him to call anybody a bitch completely stuck out to me.
Yeah, that was a little out of character. Yeah. It made you fully uncomfortable?
It made me uncomfortable, yeah.
I thought it was out of character. But anyway, all of your complaining aside, I did think the...
Forget about your problems. Here's what was good.
Well, that is a very valid thing to say.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought that I'm big into story in all these movies. Like, we saw Pacific Rim, and I was like, this story is terrible. Right. And it made me not like the movie. This movie, I thought the story moved well, and it made sense, which I think is very rare in superhero movies in general. So I liked it.
Yeah. Explain the bad guy's motivation and how he went about his plan.
What his motivation was?
Yeah, well, I know
he wanted to live forever.
What was his plan?
His plan was to lure Wolverine to Japan,
right,
which he did. And then once he died, or faked his death, as we later learned, there were some other factors in here. The family was split over the course of it.
But
it was to capture Wolverine, to depower him,
right,
and then capture him. But Wolverine kept getting away.
Right.
And then to take out his bone marrow and live forever.
Got it. So it was to take away his powers and to have Mariko.
Well, they took away his powers so they could control him. So they could capture him without
letting him go.
He got away, if you remember.
Right.
So they depowered him so they could control him and then
take
away.
What about when he was asleep? When he was asleep and they first took away his powers, why didn't they just take him then?
Yeah, they could have done that. It was early in the movie to do that, though.
Also, part of his plan was to secretly pretend to be dead and then become a robot.
Right.
Well, who doesn't want to do that?
Again, another reason for me to see this movie.
Yeah. All right.
A guy fakes his death and becomes a robot?
Can we talk about the tag a little bit?
Yeah.
The mid-credit sequence?
The mid-credit sequence that also, that was the most awesome part of the movie, totally disconnected from the movie.
Right.
Completely. You thought that was the most awesome part?
I love that, yeah.
Okay. We have different opinions.
I was after the train. It was my second great.
Right. Really?
Okay. Spoiler
heavy
alert!
Spoiler.
Just when you saw
very
the
specific
change.
Spoiler here, I know we spoiled the entire movie at this point.
We did.
Yeah.
But
when you saw the
is,
change move, I was
it's
like,
"It's the
oh.
first scene from X-Men: Days of Future Past." That's essentially what it is.
Or maybe the second.
Sure. It
great
could be
point.
The third. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Dude, I feel like the fact that Alex is agreeing with you has gotten you a little wound up. In general, right now.
Sure. Sure.
Just too happy for the day to...
Yeah, yeah. Let him talk.
yeah, I thought it was really cool. It felt like it was probably directed by Bryan Singer, so it had a little more zest to it, a little more verve.
Zest.
You had Wolverine interacting.
No, it's a panel that previously described all the other X-Men films as police procedurals.
Yeah, this I don't think was much different. In fact, it was shot in the same airport as the airport scene in the movie.
Yeah, that's fine. But it was
didn't have any more
Shut
zest.
Up. It was fun. It was fun to see Ian McKellen again. It was fun to see Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, it was.
That was cool. It was a well-staged scene. That was the biggest reaction I have seen from an audience, I think, since the Sam Jackson scene at the end of Iron Man. People went nuts for it.
I thought it was lame.
Which I thought was cool. Why did you think it was lame?
Because I liked the Magneto portion of it. Mm-hmm. I wish it ended there when Patrick Stewart rolls up and he's like, Wolverine's like, you're dead. And he's like, well, people are special or whatever his line is. And it's just like, what? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
He didn't say people are special.
He said what his line was there are more people in the world who have special abilities or some version of that. Like, you're not the only one who is special.
Right.
Or something like, it was
okay.
Like, what?
I will say, I did have one big problem with the scene, which is, so you have Wolverine at the metal detector, decides not to go through. Magneto shows up. He tries to kill him. Magneto freezes Wolverine, says, listen, there's dark times coming. We need your help. And he says, why would I ever help you? And Magneto says, well, you wouldn't help me, but there's somebody else who would help. And Professor X rolls up, Wolverine says, how could you possibly be here? He says, people are special. I love people, or whatever he says.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the end of the scene, leading into Days of Future Past. Professor X starts very far back.
Unnecessarily
far back.
He's probably a quarter of that scene was him rolling in that wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
he starts at the other end of the airport, spends about 10 minutes rolling up to Wolverine.
It may be that he was trying to sell this wheelchair model. Like,
Guys, it's hard to... Who is it? Is it Cyclops in a wheelchair? Yeah. Is it Kitty Pryde in a wheelchair?
Could have been anyone in that
what
wheelchair.
What famous Colossus. X-Men character could possibly be in a wheelchair? Turns out, Professor X.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Can I ask a spoiler-related question in this movie? Because I have a baby.
We prefer not to spoil
movie.
This movie, if that's all right, Scott.
Okay. and especially after hearing you guys talk about this, there is no chance that what I'm about to ask actually happened. But I had kind of heard the smallest of rumors, and I guess it maybe was Professor X, that someone was someone they didn't seem to be. And this would be against continuity, but is one of the characters at the end of the movie, do they turn out to be Jubilee?
No, that's not Yukio. No, Jubilee.
I had that same thought at the very end of the movie. Actually, it's like when you and we've already spoiled everything.
All of a sudden,
Yukio
like,
and Wolverine go off, and they're like, "We're going to be
friends."
Oh, and
she disappears.
She doesn't
disappear. The other thing that's great. They're like, "Come on, let's go on adventures," and then they cut to 2 years later, and she's not there.
Well, they probably had a year and a half's worth of adventures,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, "Let's just go do our own thing."
I think that's enough. Thanks so much. All right, guys, let's talk about one more thing in the Week in Geek.
Sure.
Just announced today, WB, not the WB at all, CW is going to be doing a
WB.
Yes. UPN is going to be doing a new Flash TV series.
Great.
Run by the guys who are doing Arrow. They're going to introduce the Flash in an episode of Arrow and then spin it off, hopefully, into a new series.
Oh,
so what do you guys think about that?
Well, Pete's got to be over the moon.
Shared Arrow universe, Pete.
Arrow is... You're a big Arrowhead on this show.
I am an Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. It's my guilty pleasure, and I watch it all the time.
It's your regular pleasure.
Or whatever. I enjoy it. So, yeah, I mean, they introduce people on the show, so I think that would be a fun...
They introduce people on the show?
Yeah, yeah. Like
that's a good way to have a show. That's a good way to have a show.
Wait. I haven't watched a lot of Arrow. They have characters on there?
Yep. Yeah.
They're not characters. They're people.
That's awesome. They, like, introduce the Huntress.
Every day, they're like, everyone gather around, and they're like, you extras in the back, introduce yourselves. We got to get through this. We got a Flash to introduce on this show.
And now it's time for some Arrow introductions.
I love the Flash. I believe, the old Flash TV show is one of my faves.
Yeah, it's great.
I hope it can be as good or better than that. I am not a huge Arrow fan.
Ooh.
So I don't
know. What about you?
Do not care about any of this. Do not care about Arrow. Don't particularly care about Green
Arrow.
Have
you seen
Arrow? Don't care about the Flash. No. No, I haven't.
Now you're going to give it a chance.
You want to give it a quick rundown of the high points of the season? Maybe you could introduce some people. You could introduce some people.
I feel like I read Hawkeye. And anyone who reads Hawkeye and then watches the TV show Arrow?
There can only be one Archer in your life.
Pete actually has a section on the show he likes to do called Pete's Arrow Corner.
I'm familiar,
so he could give you a little bit of a rundown on the show if you want.
I would love to hear Pete's Arrow Corner.
Everybody, Pete's Arrow Corner.
This is really going to go badly.
That's all the time we have for Pete's Arrow Corner.
Thank you so much. That's it for the Week. All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaParge.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. A simple yes, you first hand up guy.
Yeah.
Come on down.
First hand up.
Yep. Come on. Come on up here. What is your name, sir?
Come on.
Your name?
Paul.
Paul. Audience. Paul.
Yeah.
Paul, so how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, and you will win $25. All right. So this week's trivia is on This Week in Comics. So all the comics that came out this week, I'm sure you've read them all, so this shouldn't be a problem at all for you. Okay. In Wolverine and the X-Men number 33. Thank you, both man. I don't know how to pronounce this girl's name. ID? All right, great. ID wears blank. Is it A, the Black Queen outfit, B, Kilgore's skin, or C, something appropriate for her age? I mean, come on, she's fucking 14 years old.
Whoa.
So is it either A,
which is the correct choice, the Black Queen outfit, or B, Kilgore's skin?
Or at C, where Pete's personal opinion is shining through.
I'm doing a bit here, all right? So try not to be an asshole.
Wow.
Say A out loud.
A.
Thank you. Yes.
Nice.
All right. In Hawkeye Annual number 1, we focus on blank. Is it A, Hawkeye, B, Kate Bishop, or C, the importance of sharing? So it's either A, Hawkeye, or B, Kate Bishop.
I'm going to go with B, Kate.
Yeah.
Nice.
In Batman Superman number 2, we see our heroes trapped in blank. Is it A, a possible future, B, the past, or C, a timeout because they've been bad? So is it A, a possible future, or B, the past, which wouldn't make any sense? Or should you pick? You going to pick A? You going to pick it?
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. $25 to you, Paul. Here you go. Here's your gift card. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Sorry for berating you.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I'm looking for the last issue of BPRD Vampire. That's been an amazing series. It's wrapping up. I'm excited for how it's going to end.
Great. Justin, what about you?
Collider number 1, a comic about the physics of the world falling apart and a special forces unit that has to protect the law of physics. Very
Ooh,
cool.
Interesting.
I'm looking...
Whoa.
I'm looking forward to who Batman was that? Incorporated number 13 is coming out.
Yeah.
That's Grant Morrison's last issue on the title. Kind of excited to see what's going to happen.
Big fight between Batman and old Talia.
Talia al Ghul.
Very exciting.
Yeah, let's see what happens. What do you guys think? Is Damian going to come back?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Just broke my heart.
Scott, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking at X-Men number 3 by Brian Wood, the all-chick X-Men
team. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I'm digging it. I'm particularly digging in a totally PC way that it's never mentioned. They're all women, and they're all sexy and simultaneously badass. So I'm shamelessly looking forward to
it. It's great.
Awesome.
And Jubilee's a new parent, and so are you. So I guess that's...
true. Although my baby hopefully doesn't have like the end of the world inside it.
Oh, you never know.
Every baby does. It's a metaphor.
Oh, man.
Just like Wolverine pulling out his own heart and learning something. Yeah. Which
exactly.
Does.
Just like Wolverine being something. Just the right size.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out, Scott?
Check out Literal Listicles. It is blowing up. If you just Google nothing, it will be the top hit. Also, check out my website, me, Scott Eckert. It's M-E, and then my name, ScottEckert.com, for all the other stuff that I'm doing that isn't that simple, stupid idea.
And if I could plug Literal Testicles, really, too, as you guys could just check that out. I only have 3 or 4 followers. So
you only have 3 or 4 testicles.
Exactly. Oh, that was my big reveal for next season.
Sorry
the
about
fourth
that.
Testicle.
All right. Pete, what do you want to plug before we go?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, YouTube.com/Nerdist for our movie review show, Biggest Summer Ever. We're going to have reviews coming up of both Elysium and The World's End in the next couple of weeks.
Hopefully.
That's been pretty good, among other stuff. Also, want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tom Erdar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Patty Tanicella, and Riley Trahan. Also, want to thank Scott Eckert for being on the show.
Boothman.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in New York. Totally free. Please tell your friends.
Please.
Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Tell your friends.
Sit on.